Now, I want to turn, first of all, to read a little from Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to commence at verse 4, please. So, Ephesians chapter 2, commencing to read at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Tonight I want to look at a word that pops up through Scripture, all through Scripture, as the word mercy. There are many, many different Bible references to the word mercy. And we find one of those places that we find mercy pops up very, very frequently is the Psalms. And we find phrases repeated time after time in the Psalms, his mercy endureth forever. Then other times the psalmist would cry out and he would say, O Lord, be merciful unto me. And then other times it was as if the psalmist had actually received the mercy, because he would say, I have trusted in thy mercy. And then, of course, you know Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And yet, you know, whenever you take the word mercy and say, what is the definition of mercy? Explain mercy in a simple term. And it's really quite hard to actually get down and say, what actually is mercy? And how, you know, how do we define mercy? And, you know, the more I looked at it and the more I thought about it, you know, mercy is something that normally somebody that is facing either judgment or is under attack in some way, and they can't defend themselves. There's nothing that they can do within themselves to get out of the situation that they're in. So what do? They cry for mercy, whether it's to the judge or whether it's the person that is attacking them. Yes, they have no defense within themselves, nothing that they can do themselves except to cry for mercy. And mercy, mercy that's not deserved, mercy that's not even expected, mercy that cannot be paid for in any way whatsoever. And you know, during Bible times, the Roman soldiers were known. And they were known as very callous, hard men in many ways. And one of the reasons for that is very simple, because they were not allowed to show any type of mercy to anyone. If you as a Roman soldier showed mercy to anybody at all, then you weren't considered a real man at all. You were considered weak, and so on. And that's why Roman soldiers were considered so hard and so tough. And yet the great thing is that tonight we are worshipping a God that people can call on, a God of mercy. Because, of course, tonight, every single one of us who have sinned, we've all sinned within our lives, and we've all faced the judgment of God, and yet we can cry to God for mercy tonight. You know, for people to have understood, yes, that they are sinners, to realize that there is nothing that we can do within ourselves for salvation except to cry to God for mercy for our sin. Yes, we are helpless and hopeless within ourselves. All we can do is cry to God for mercy. And yet, isn't it wonderful tonight that our God is a God who is rich in mercy, not like a Roman soldier, but a God who has mercy from everlasting to everlasting. An endless supply of mercy tonight. And tonight he wants to pour that mercy out. He wants us to have that mercy. He wants us to know of the love that he has for us. And of course we know that he has that love for us simply because he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die there upon Calvary. And yet at the same time, yes, our sin, it needs to be punished. But of course, God provided that sacrifice. He provided the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, so that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And yet tonight, rich in mercy to the undeserving. And you know, Sometimes the whole idea of mercy has nearly got away from our churches, from our preaching, and so on. And you know, I've been reading a lot of material on the 1859 revival. And one of the things about the 1859 revival that astounded me is the amount of people who were crying out to God for mercy. People were coming under conviction of sin. They realized they were sinners, and they were literally crying out in the churches, in the streets, on the roads, for mercy to God. Crying for mercy. Why? Because they realized that the judgment of God was upon them. And they realized that as sinners that they failed, there was nothing that within themselves that they could do. And you know, it was amazing as you read through those accounts. The other thing that amazed me as I read through the accounts of the revival was very simply this. That as you read through the revival, you get snippets of sermons frequently that were preached. And the language of the ministers of those days was so straight, so honest, so blunt. I'm not surprised that people did understand, yes, that there was a heaven, that there was a hell, and that there was a judgment to come. People understood that in a way that they don't hear today. And really today, we're faced with a situation where there is no judgment preached, and therefore, because there's no judgment, there's no mercy needed. We don't today cry out to God for mercy. And you know, yet, humanly speaking, tonight, you know, you think about it, you know, do we really show mercy today? You know, we show mercy to people who are nice to us. We show love to people who are nice to us. You know, how often do we show mercy? How often do we show love and grace to those that despise us, that hate us, and so on? It is really only we, you know. And yet, who does God show mercy to? He shows mercy to those who have been rebellious, who have been sinners, who have been completely opposed to Him. And yet tonight, you know, even in this meeting, as we think maybe as a missionary type meeting where we're going to look at different parts of the world, and maybe you say, well, where does mercy fit in? And yet at the same time, you know, one of the great mercies is the fact that God is merciful, and He gave that great commission to go into the world and to preach the gospel. Because, you know, if you really pause and think about it, you know, it is one of God's mercies. God so wants our world to hear of His salvation. It is one of God's great mercies. A mercy that He actually gave that command. You know, sometimes as I think about it, you know, there's that great command. And you know, we wouldn't have gone. We wouldn't go. We wouldn't go across our world and spread the gospel message if Jesus hadn't given that command. You know, in some ways we barely go even with the command being there. And yet God is merciful and has given that great command to go and to share the gospel across our world. The mercy of God is great. He wants to pour it out. It's from everlasting to everlasting. He wants everybody to know of His mercy. And you know, as we look at the work of Every Home Crusade tonight, you know, we know of the mercy of God in our work. The great blessing that God, in His mercy, has shown to us in our work. You know, last year as we look at our ministry, we had 58 million pieces of literature printed and sent out across our world. And if you think of that as 58 million pieces of mercy, mercy that God is using to bring His salvation to other people. And it is exciting to see that. At the moment, in the factory there, we're printing gospel literature. We're printing about 95 different languages. We're sending that literature to over 120 countries free of charge, to all sorts of missionary organizations, to Christian workers and so on. At the moment, some of you will know, some of you may not know, but we've got a new factory up towards Canalan, Drumara direction. And there we've got that place. It is superb as far as we are concerned. It has meant we've been able to add a lot of extra equipment, additional machinery in the printing process. Plenty of room for turning lorries, 40-foot lorries of paper coming in. Frequently we will end up buying 100 tons of paper at one go. Actually, on Monday, we have a load of 20 ton of paper due in. And on Tuesday, we have another 60 ton of paper due in. You know, so that just gives you a little bit of an idea. You know, we're inclined to think of paper, you know, as a, you know, few sheets here and there. Just to give you an idea, we are using on our, at least at the minimum of 4 ton of paper a day within the factory. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of the scale. You might, you'll see a few pictures of the factory later on. It'll give you just a little bit of an idea. It's possibly a bit more. Since we've moved in, it's hard to quantify I need to take it over a period of time to work out exactly what the average is that we are using. And I haven't done a whole stock take since Christmas, but I do know that we are flying through paper. Actually, both these consignments, we are waiting on both of these consignments right now for both presses, and they'll start printing using those two types of paper as soon as they come in. But, you know, I wanted just to mention a few of the places, a few of the countries and so on, where we're sending literature and some of the openings and the opportunities that we have these days. And at the same time, to let you know what is going on as far in different places. I think tonight of India. Now, if you're in our factory, you will always see Indian literature being produced. We print about 11 different languages. We ship a 20-foot container. Now, you'll know what a 20-foot container is. We can put at least 18 tons of literature into a 20-foot container. And one of those heads off to India every month. All right? Now, and you maybe say, why so much to India? Very simple. Because of the population of India. You're talking about a country of 1.2 billion people. You know, numbers we can't even appreciate, we can't even understand. And at the same time, we are getting literally dozens of requests coming out of the country, frequently asking us for 500,000 booklets, 1 million booklets for evangelism. One mission, they actually sent us a letter there just in the last few days. And over Christmas, they took 10 areas, 10 cities, and they started a big evangelistic campaign in all those 10 cities. Altogether, over the Christmas period, they visited 500,000 homes. From that 500,000 homes, they had over 27,000 people responded, either asking for more information, wanting to know the way of salvation, and so on. From that, apart from those that they were able to direct straight into churches, but they started 30 what they call Christ groups. Now, these are groups where they literally, like a little mini church, all, you know, where a group of folk come together from that evangelistic community, people who have trusted the Lord or want to know more, and they come and they start and they meet on a regular basis. And the mission, they put a couple of workers there and work and teach these people and build them up into a church. They call these Christ groups. Where there is, and they'll start these where there are no evangelical churches whatsoever. So they started 30 Christ groups just from those. That campaign just from Christmas. Now they said, look, we're getting ready for another campaign at Easter time, and we hope to hit another 10 cities or another 10 areas. So probably that'll be another 500,000 homes. Now that's just one of the missions that we're working with. That's not all the missions, and that's not all that's happening in India. That's just one mission amongst a whole string of others that we work with. One of the places that we've been sending a lot of literature and for is to CEF. And we've been printing these booklets here. Some of you may recognize them, but not the language. But this is Meet the King booklet. This one is in the Romanian language. And we have been printing these just at the moment. Well, we printed them, I should say, for a whole range right across all of Europe. Just in the last few days, I got word. We printed 70,000 of these. Plus 70,000 Gospels of John, and those have gone into France, and they have now safely arrived in France, and they will be using those on a door-to-door basis in five different regions of France. We also sent 100,000 of these Meet the King booklets with 100,000 Gospels of John to CEF in Guadeloupe. Anybody know where Guadeloupe is? Any idea of what part of the world we're talking about? Well, that makes me feel good, because neither did I know when I got the request. Guadeloupe is in the Caribbean area. Now, I actually happened to read an article about Antigua. You've heard of Antigua, all right? Well, I actually read an article about Antigua the other day, and you can see Guadeloupe from Antigua, all right? So that gives you an idea where roughly it is. But with 100,000 of those have gone to Guadeloupe, and they're en route just at the moment. Just literally at this moment in time, if you were in the factory, you would see three different consignments of these all ready to go. There is 10,000 of these in the Italian language ready to go. There are 65,000 of these in Danish ready to go to Denmark. And then 250,000 of these in Russian and Romanian to go to Moldova. CF Moldova came to us and they said, look, we would like to put one of these booklets into every home in Moldova. And I remember when Linda Curry came to me with that request, I sort of looked at Linda and I says, how many homes is that? She says, 800,000. So We shipped out the first quarter of a million. They arrived on the 29th of December past, and Linda's already written and said, we've all gone, we're ready for the next batch. So there's another quarter of a million. The guys told me to finish them on Friday afternoon there, and those will be ready now to go out this week into Moldova. I should say that Gary Bolton and myself had the opportunity of going to Moldova and Ukraine right at the very beginning of January. And one of the people that we stayed with was a guy called Pavel, one of the CF workers in Moldova. It was most interesting going around, seeing some of the work, seeing some of the children's meetings that he was conducting, and what some of the work that he was involved in. There was one particular children's meeting, and it sort of stood out in my mind. First of all, it was we went to this village. They told us that the Moldovan Orthodox Church in this village have said no evangelical church is going to be allowed to start in this village. They had the wealthiest Moldovan Orthodox Church in this particular village from all across Moldova. You know some of these churches and have these great big globes on top of them. Well, on this particular church, they have six of these huge globes on top of it. And all of those globes are made of pure gold. And yet the church, the village is living in absolute poverty. And yet that is the state of the church, that Moldovan church. Pavel and his wife have gone to that village, They got opening into a medical institute. The medical institute said, yes, they could have a children's meeting in the medical institute. Well, we arrived at this medical institute. We went in and we walked down this corridor, and suddenly Pavel stops right in the middle of the corridor, and it was a wee bit wider at that spot, and he says, this is where we have our children's meeting. Now, it was absolutely freezing cold. There wasn't heat in sight. And I sort of looked and thought, oh, well, all right. But much to our surprise, a door opened and this lady bounced out. And she says, oh no, she says, we're not having the children's meeting here today. We've got a new place for the children's meeting. And we went off into another building, and when we got to the other building, here was this beautifully furnished orphanage-type building. And then somehow they got all this money from somewhere. They'd done up this building, and it was an orphanage day centre for young people from the village. And they took us into that in a room there. And yes, all the children began to arrive. But another thing that intrigued me was this. Not only did the children come, but we had mothers, we had grandmothers, we had grandfathers, you know, we had a whole selection of people, all turned up for the meeting. And I thought, well, you know, yes, the adults will sit sort of quietly at the side while the children have their children's meeting, but there wasn't any of it. You know, when it came to the quiz, the adults were answering the questions just as fast as the children, totally engrossed, and you could see they were following everything. But one of the things that intrigued me as well was this man, and he stood in the back doorway of the meeting. And every so often he would make a comment. Gary and I were sitting there. We had no translator at this stage. So we were sitting, you know, listening Romanian without a translator. We were saying, is that boy in the door? Is he for the meeting or is he against the meeting? You know, what's he trying to say? Well, at the end then we discovered, yes, it was very friendly and so on. And we asked about him afterwards. And this is what Pavel said. He says, that man, he said, has come to the children's meetings for the last 7 years. And listen, and he says he's really, really, you know, friendly now towards them. They don't know where he stands as far as the gospel is concerned. And yet, there is a person who's hungry. And many other people in that village hungry and willing to come and to hear the word of God. And at the same time, there's Pavel. Pavel, who is willing to go. The very first time that they held a children's meeting in that medical institute, people stoned the medical institute. And the other thing was that those windows are not fixed yet today. And that's 7 years ago. So it gives you a little bit of an idea as to the situation. And it's not particularly easy. And yet we went around other churches and so on. We met in little places. I was going to say halls, but they're not halls because this is a hall. You know, little houses. And people just jammed in. I can remember one place, and like I thought the place was full when the meeting started, and yet people kept coming, and everybody somehow shoved up a bit more, and they, you know, they squeezed together even tighter, and it reached the place where if anybody went to speak, somebody took, you know, the speaker took the seat of the person who was going to speak, you know. We had this reshuffle every time anybody went to take part, simply because it got so tight. And yet, the pastor of that place, he said to us this. He says, you know, he says, he and his family traveled from the city to this village. They started this church in the village. He says, now we've started Bible studies in three more villages. And we're going out there as well to spread the word of God. And he says, I've got this church almost to the place where they can stand on their own two feet and look after themselves. And that is the vision of many of the people out there in Moldova. Monday, we also, of this incoming week, we also hope to ship a container of literature to South Africa. And what we're hoping to put into this container is Gospels of John. We've actually printed the Gospel of John in six new... Yeah, here it's Gospel of John. We've printed this in six new languages, as far as we are concerned, for South Africa. These are South African languages. So there are six languages, 70,000 each, and that will basically fill the 20-foot container. So that material is heading out to South Africa, all being well, on Monday. One of the other things that we've produced in the last few weeks, anybody that's interested in football, and it's not particularly what I'm down about, but football, you know, with the World Cup coming up in June time, and people say to us, look, we'd love to have a track, you know, based on football for the World Cup and be able to use it. Well, we produced this, and we sent a few copies out for people to see. And immediately we had a fantastic response. The folk in South Africa that we work with, they immediately came back and said, we'd like to have 500,000 of these. The folk in Brazil that we work with, they wanted 500,000. Then the folk around Africa, it suddenly went around Africa in a number of the countries. Seven countries have come back so far and said, we want 200,000 each. Each of the countries have come up with a figure of 200,000. They've already just translated in the last 2 weeks. Translated into Swahili for Kenya and Tanzania, for Bemba for Zambia, Portuguese of course for Mozambique, and of course for Brazil as well. So it gives you a little bit of an idea as to the demand. So we have a lot of that material there to get ready in the next few weeks. I also was at a conference in Madrid over the weekend, and these were all leaders from Latin America, and I put this up on the screen during my presentation. Well, if you ever electrified a room, you know, I suddenly had all these people literally jumped out of there. You know what Latin Americans are with football, you know? And they all immediately jumped. Oh, I try. Oh, can we have this? Can we have this? Can we get it into Spanish? So I said, yeah, you can get it translated into Spanish. And so they were starting to order that as well. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. We also have been printing some other material. Another, if you were in the factory at the moment, there's this new leaflet. I don't know if you've seen it or not in English. I don't think I've seen it in English. But it's God Cares for You. It's the title of it. This is a whole series of a children's course. This is CEF. We're printing 70,000 of these. I think there's a dozen different leaflets in the series. And we're printing 70,000 of each for CEF for Poland. So that's on the go at the moment. This here is also a children's Sunday school set of lessons. I don't know if you've come across either Postal Bible Sunday School or Bible Education Services. But they approached us and said, look, could we print these lessons for Africa? They're to go to Kenya, Tanzania, South Africa, Zambia and Ghana. There's a whole big series of these, so we've been printing those, and there's more of those to be printed now in the next few days. So that just gives you a little bit of glimpse of what's going on. In the last couple of weeks, we actually shipped a container to Brazil. Now, we have our own depot in Brazil, and from there, the literature goes right across. All requests from Brazil go into that depot. We ship to the depot, and then they in turn ship the literature out all across Brazil. As I said, just over a week ago, we shipped the last container to Brazil. Now, I said earlier about 18 tons of literature in a container. Well, that one, because there are so many tracts, we had something in the region of over 4 million tracts in Portuguese, all in this sort of heavier, glossy paper. So it means all told that we reckon we had about 22 tons of literature into that container. and that's heading out to Brazil. The folk there are absolutely inundated with requests for gospel literature. Victor, who looks after the depot there, he told us, he says, look, we have 1,300 orders on backlog, a backlog of 1,300 orders asking for supplies of literature from across Brazil. And he says it'll take another two or three containers, you know, to get that backlog cleared. And I know by the time we get two or three more containers to Brazil, well, probably the backlog will still be there. But that is just the way it works, and that's the situation. We cannot meet the number of requests that we have coming in for supplies of gospel literature. As I said, Carl and I were over in Madrid last weekend at a conference. There was leaders from all across Central and South America, all looking for supplies of gospel literature. I remember one guy that we talked to from Chile, and of course the earthquake had literally just happened just at that weekend, and he said, look, he says, we desperately need supplies of literature. Can we have 500,000 gospel tracts? Can we have a supply of Gospels of John? Can we have a set of children's Bible lessons? He says, can we have 5,000 sets of children's Bible lessons to teach the Word of God to the people? Think of the folk from Mexico. Can we have 1,000,000 Gospels of John? And that was the story that we were hearing from all those different Central and South American countries, the need for gospel literature. I think we were also in Thailand last November. Again, there we were meeting leaders from across Asia, some of those from Muslim countries. They were saying, look, yes, we are working in the Muslim lands. We can't publicize it. We can't tell all that we're doing. But yes, we are reaching out with the Word of God. Yes, we need gospel literature. Yes, we can even import it. So at this moment in time, I'm waiting for all the different translations to come in from those different countries across Asia, so that we can start to help and supply them with quantities of gospel literature. This just gives you a little bit of a glimpse tonight, a little idea as to what is going on within the factory. One of the other places that we're hoping to ship to very shortly is Nigeria. We're working on a container load of literature for Nigeria. Again, we will be printing for that container 100,000 copies of the Gospel of John and Bassa. Again, that's the first time in that particular language. So, these are some of the openings. Nigeria is a country, well over 100 million people living in Nigeria. Again, populations that we cannot grasp, that we cannot cope with within our minds, and yet people who need to know the way of salvation. These are the opportunities, and even though, you know, sometimes when we look at the factory there in Canal, and we see all the literature that's being produced, and we think, it's fantastic, all this gospel literature being produced. And yet, at the same time, it is still only a drop in the ocean of need as far as gospel literature is concerned. We have far, far more demands for gospel literature than what we can meet. I haven't mentioned all the opportunities and openings that we have at this time as far as gospel literature. I haven't talked about all the other African countries. I haven't talked about the Philippines or right across Eastern Europe except for the likes of Moldova. But there are many, many openings tonight for gospel literature. I brought with me tonight a video. This is from Venezuela. It lets you see a little bit of the work that's going on in Venezuela. Also a little bit from the factory. Should mention that some of our reports are down here at the back. Please feel free to help yourselves to these. These are monthly newsletters. I also brought a book with me that we produced recently, Through Editor's Eyes. This is about the 1859 revival. A little bit different from some of the other books in that this is literally newspaper cuttings taken from 1859, from the revival and from the newspapers, literally as they were published. So things that happened one day appeared in the newspaper the next day. So you get very, very up-to-date, very fresh, exactly on what was going on as far as the revival was concerned. So if anybody's interested in the book, it's £6 Through Editor's Eyes. So I'm going to go on now, let you see this video. I would simply ask you tonight to please pray for us in the work of Every Home Crusade. There are many openings, many opportunities. Pray that we'll really just know the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance in these days. So thank you very much for the opportunity of sharing with you. We appreciate it very much. Oh,
South America, it has a population of about 28 million people. The capital of the country is in Caracas, which has around 8 million people living in it. It is an amazing city. The city center has been built in a valley, but all around that whole area, there are many very steep little hills. The people have built their houses over the years on these hills, which have become very crowded. And this is where the poor people live, in very cramped conditions. As you travel all over the country of Venezuela, there is much beautiful scenery and many varied types of landscape, from forested areas to the savannas, which is scrub land, to dry areas where there are the ranches for the farming, and where many crops are also grown. For many years, we have been in contact with Pastor Angles and his wife, who have been working in Venezuela for over 30 years. During this time, we have shipped many container loads of literature to them for distribution in this country. Now, Swanee, their daughter, and Douglas, their son-in-law, have taken over the Ministry of Literature Distribution throughout the country, and they have been traveling far and wide, distributing the Gospels of John, teaching about the children's Bible lessons, and distributing the gospel tracts. Initially, all of the literature that they received was delivered here to their little church in this barrio. However, they have since now got a storeroom and office in the city centre, which makes it much more accessible to people coming to the city looking for supplies of gospel literature. While we were in Caracas, we decided to visit the city of San Fernando de Aguero. This is a 5 to 6 hour drive from the capital. We loaded a van, brought a consignment, Gospels of John, children's Bible lessons, pardon assurance booklets, and children's tracts. When we arrived on our first day, we held 3 seminars. Douglas conducted seminars for pastors and Christian workers involved in the churches. This was in order to explain how to distribute the Gospels of John, the Gospel tracts, how to teach the children's Bible lessons, and how even to distribute the children's tracts. He finds this to be very important because people treat the literature with such value. They want it to be distributed widely, carefully, with an explanation to the people as to how they can read it, especially the introduction to the Gospel of John, 7 steps to knowing God, and how you can point a person to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior through this introduction. On the 3rd seminar that we attended, there was a very large turnout, and it was interesting to see the enthusiasm with which many people are involved in evangelism. At the end of each of the seminars, people and the churches got supplies of the literature to take back into their own places. And it was amazing just to watch the enthusiasm with which people received the literature. On teaching boys and girls the Word of God. They have been doing this through the children's Bible clubs. We visited one particular church, and they have 40 clubs organized throughout the time. They have been using our set of children's Bible lessons and have found these to be of immense help, as there is so little literature available for teaching boys and girls the gospel message. We also have been using our children's tracts and distributing these amongst the boys and girls in the clubs, but also in many other different places.
In one of these children's meetings, we were amazed to see the Bible lesson being taught by an 11-year-old boy using one of our own Bible lessons. He spoke for about 20 minutes to a large group of boys and girls and some parents who were in the background.
We have been delighted to be able to stay during our visit to San Fernando de Apura with Jose and his wife Iris. They are very actively involved in many forms of Christian service. Jose is a lecturer in the local university, but he's also the general director of an organization which is producing these evangelistic magazines for distribution in the country. They're also involved heavily in the work of the local church. Jose also looks after the coordinating of the 4-day children's clubs.
Gary had the opportunity of opening the Word of God on a number of occasions. Firstly, there was Saturday night at the young people's meeting, and then on Sunday, both the morning and evening service in Emmanuel Church, where many people appreciated his ministry. He also had the opportunity of telling them about the Ministry of Revival Movement Association, which helped people to understand where the literature came from and how it is part of an international ministry. The Christians in San Fernando are involved in many different forms of evangelical outreach. On a Saturday morning, they hold a trance breakfast. A number of these are held in different parts of the city. The one that we attended had only 4 men present. The gospel message was shared with them through preaching and by song. At the end, one of these men told us how he was a backslider and how he had killed his neighbor when this man had attacked his wife. He shared with us how he wanted to get right with God, and there he prayed a prayer of repentance.
In Venezuela, there is a tremendous openness amongst the hospitals for evangelism. Many Christians take a full advantage of this situation and are willing to distribute the Gospels of John and Gospel tracts. It was interesting to watch as the people not only distributed the literature, but that they also took time to talk to the patient, hear their problem, to share, then share the love of Christ with them and pray with them. This approach meant that the gospel literature was very widely accepted. Not only did they take time to distribute the literature to the patients, but they also distributed it to the members of staff and shared the gospel's message through the literature with them. We met a pastor in Nevis who is a faithful servant of the Lord for many years. Years ago, he traveled to the Savannah land on horseback, sharing the gospel message to the people and taking time to get to know them. At first, the people didn't like him. They even tried to kill him. But eventually, they received the gospel message. Today, there are another 3 churches in this Savannah area where people live very isolated lives. When we arrived, there was a large meal had been laid on for us. At the end of the meal, the lady told us how she had been so concerned about having us as visitors, and how she wanted to prepare a special meal with a certain bird. But these birds had not appeared for days, and she didn't have any. She prayed the night before we arrived. The next morning, whenever she got up, there were some of the birds. They were able to catch 2 of them, and they were on our dinner table that day. And she was so thankful to the Lord for his provision. After the meal, it took time to share with the people some of the literature that we had brought with us. These people expressed their appreciation as they already had received some supplies in the past. The literature was shared among 3 pastors who had visited. One of these men had come on his mule. He got a fresh supply of literature, which he was taking home on his mule, which was an over an hour's ride away. Lucas and Pastor Angelo have a ministry in the prisons throughout Venezuela, where they visit and distribute Gospels of John and gospel practice. An interesting feature of the prison is that the evangelicals who visit the prison are held in very high esteem. When we arrived one morning at a prison, we were amazed that to see as church service is taking progress, even though it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. There was about 80 visitors attending the service. They had their own pastor, who was also one of the prisoners. They explained to us later on that when a prisoner makes a decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that the other prisoners all watch on to see if this is really a genuine conversion, and it is considered to be offensive if a person backslides or continues to live a life of sin. During the service, we were really encouraged with the enthusiasm with which the visitors took part in the singing and throughout the service. Pastor Angus had an opportunity to preach. Gary, myself, had the opportunity to bring greetings and to share the short messages with the visitors. After the service, we had the opportunity of talking to some of the prisoners. During this time, three prisoners came to us and said that they wanted to trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. We asked us to pray with them. We took a little bit of time, opened up the Gospels of John, and took them through the 7 steps to knowing God. After we prayed with them, it was encouraging that we could leave them in the prison, knowing that a pastor was there who would take care of them and help them in their young Christian lives.
Yes, it's a great privilege for me to be able to communicate with you this way. We have been in contact with the Vital Movement Association in Ireland for many years, and I want to tell you that it has been a great blessing to us and our ministry. At this moment, we are receiving containers with Christian literature from Ireland, and we are spreading it all over the country. I just want to tell you that it has been a great blessing, and it's being used all over the country. The Lord has blessed us in a special way through this ministry. So to all those who belong to the ministry or who are going to incorporate, I really want to thank you for all your help, and the Lord bless you richly for all you've been doing for us. God bless you.
We also had the opportunity of going out with the evangelistic team from the church. And as they visited from door to door to talk to people concerning the good news of the gospel, looking on, we noticed at how open people were, and even how a group of teenage schoolboys coming home were quite prepared to stand and listen while the gospel message was explained to them, and then they received a Gospel of John. We were invited into a home where a man had broken his leg. After the team had talked to him and explained the gospel, he prayed to accept the Lord as his Savior. On our last evening in Caracas, Pastor Angus told us that they had invited a few friends to the church for a meeting for us to share about our ministry and for Gary to be able to speak. We were very surprised that many folk from 5 different churches arrived. After we had spoken, some of them got up and shared how they used our gospel literature in different forms of outreach around the city. One man, a taxi driver, told us that no one gets a ride in his car without hearing the gospel message and receiving some literature.
Venezuela, we were so encouraged that how God is using the literature of every home crusade right throughout the country. From the capital city in the north to the jungle in the south, God is using our gospel literature printed in Belfast. When we were in San Fernando de Apura, we had the chance to meet with one missionary who told us that they were presently using our children's Bible lessons in the jungle in the south of the country. We went to one adult Bible study group, and it was great there to see our children's Bible lesson used to disciple young Christians in their faith. As we traveled around, whether it was the children's Bible clubs, adults Bible study groups, church services, it was so great to see how God was using His Word in so many different settings, whether it be for evangelism or whether it be for discipleship. One pastor warned us of how they were using our Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Light of the Word booklet, to prepare some young believers for baptism. One other thing that left a deep impression upon us was how expensive Christian literature is in the local bookstores, whether it be Bibles, Christian books, or evangelistic literature. The material is way above the price that the average person here in Venezuela could afford. It was just a great joy to us to leave Venezuela knowing that our literature was in the hands of people who needed it. It was being distributed by people who were prayerful, who were men of God, who had a passion to see souls won throughout the land. The people we met continually expressed their thanks and wanted us to pass on a word to our supporters, our friends, those who prayed for us, that how much they value the literature, which showed us how valuable the work that we are doing really is, and how much the people need us and need our literature here in this land to spread the gospel message throughout Venezuela.
We have now moved our factory from Belfast to near Tamar, County Down. This new building has given us room for expansion, with plenty of space for car parking and the towing of lorries. We have 3 floors within the building, with reception on the first floor. We have a lot of extra space in the print room, and we have been able to purchase extra equipment. And this 5-colour Heidelberg has just been purchased to replace a much older model. This has almost doubled the output from this machine. The Conceptum printing press is now able to work at full capacity so that it can frequently be printing at more than 200 meters of paper per minute. We have been able to add a rewind unit to this machine so that it can print and winds the printed paper into a roll again. The web leader at press it continues to print all of the Gospels of John. Each of these reams of paper weigh about 0.5 ton each. This machine can print 2 rolls at the same time. We have purchased an additional Miller cell stitcher for the stapling and trimming of all of the booklets and calendars. This is a great advantage, as we have always had a backlog of booklets waiting to be stapled and trimmed. Folding tracks has always been a slow and labor-intensive job, as each folding machine could only fold 1 track at a time. This new machine can take a roll of tracks and cut them into pages. The tracks are then folded, trimmed, and bundled, ready for packing. We are now capable of folding 100,000 tracks in an hour. One of the great advantages of the new factory is that we can have our store within the same building. We can store 200 tons of paper, as well as stocks of printed material awaiting shipment. In the new building, we have a loading bay for filling the containers of literature, which we ship to many countries. We would like to thank all of those whose gifts make this ministry possible. We would like to invite you to join with us in sending the gospel message through the printed page to millions of precious souls around our world.